a little chat with Tom in the kitchen, and he told me he's interested in pursuing a romantic relationship, but the object of his affections is not Daphne.
Damn, that Roz!
No. It's you. Me?
Well, that's impossible. Tom's not gay.
He seems to be under that impression.
What on earth could have made him think that I was interested in him? All I did was ask him if he was attached, and then we talked about the theater and men's fashions. Oh, my God. Niles, do you realize what this means?
Yes, you're dating your boss.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Gayest Episode Ever, the podcast where we talk about episodes of classic TV shows that deal with LGBT themes. I'm Drew Mackey.
I'm Glenn Lakin.
And in case that opening bit didn't tip you off, this first episode is going to be about Frasier. Frasier is the NBC sitcom that ran from 1993 to 2004.
It was a spinoff of Cheers.
The episode in particular we're going to be talking about is titled The Matchmaker. It was the third episode of season two. It aired on October 4th, 1994. And unless I'm mistaken, it's the first time in like Frasier Crane's three TV show existence, if you count Wings. I count Wings.
I don't know if I count Wings, but okay.
He was on Wings.
It belonged to the Wings universe and was on an episode of Wings, but I wouldn't call it a Frasier Crane TV show.
It was off to a terrible start. Is the first instance of Frasier Crane's existence that deals with the fact that he kind of comes off as gay, right?
Yeah, I would say that's true.
Like, the entire existence of his character on Cheers, that's what we're supposed to think, but I just can't think of even Carla mentioning outright that, like, oh, you seem like you're, like, gay or something, right?
Well, my thought is that I'm going to say gay or acting, whatever you want that to mean, and however offensive that is, I am sorry. But he was definitely more quote-unquote straight acting on Cheers. Like, I think on Cheers, he came off as, like, a pompous intellectual, and they didn't have to address the gay issue until he had his own show.
Oh, interesting.
Also, okay. he was married on Cheers. First, he was in love with Diane, then engaged to Diane, and then dating and then married to Lilith. So he had a wife, and you weren't as prone to say, there is a gay man talking down to me. It was just like, here's a straight intellectual pompous jerk.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't think about that. Yeah, he's hopelessly single for most of the run of Frasier. So yeah, they probably would have had to figure out a way to do that. We are going to talk about, there's a lot of reasons that Frasier speaks to a gay experience. At least Glenn and I think so. And we will talk about that. But before we get into it, I just want to give a little TV context for what was going on network TV when this episode aired. It was 5 months before the episode of Roseanne, where she gets kissed by Mariel Hemingway, and about 3 years before Ellen's Puppy episode. However, that August, ABC premiered My So-Called Life, which was the first show to feature an openly gay actor playing an openly gay character, that being Wilson Cruz's character. Do you remember?
I didn't really watch it. Don't yell at me.
It ran on a loop on MTV like throughout all of high school. It's the only reason most people like my age ended up actually watching it. But
I mean, I knew it exists.
Wilson Cruz dresses interestingly and is a well-played character. More like non-gay context, a TV show called Friends was 2 weeks old when the show aired for the first time, which is so weird to think about. And because I only kind of remember things in context of The Simpsons episode that aired the previous Sunday was Itchy and Scratchy Land.
Oh, classic.
Also, this episode of Frasier did really well in the ratings. It came in eighth for the week with a rating of 15.9, but was completely outmatched by the show that was in its competing slot on ABC, Home Improvement, which got a 20.7 rating for whatever crappy episode it aired. But I think importantly, we're here to talk about Frasier, and that's the last time we're ever going to mention Home Improvement on this show because they never did again.
Well, we'll see.
Okay.
I have stories. Okay. I don't really have stories.
Okay.
But I actually feel like eighth is kind of trash. Like, weren't there only like 8 TV shows on?
No, it did actually pretty well.
All right.
Yeah. Don't bash it. Don't bash it, especially because this episode happens to be directed by a gay man and written by a gay man. The director, David Lee, who's also a co-creator for the show, won a DGA award for it. And Joe Keenan, the man who wrote it, won an Emmy for the script. It was also given a GLAAD award for the interesting way it deals with stereotypes about gay men.
I would agree with all of that.
Yeah, before we jump into the actual episode, Frasier's really gay, right?
No, I mean, yes. Yes, he is.
Like, the
gay
show, Frasier italicized is really gay, even though Frasier the person is ostensibly heterosexual.
Yeah. I mean, it is a show about refined taste in an era where that's sort of coded for gay.
Especially if the number one show on TV is Home Improvement.
I mean, yeah. I mean, Frasier was not grunting like an ape.
No.
And his children were not running around like animals.
Right, right. Although, what is her name? Patricia Richardson? Is that the mom in Home Improvement?
Heaton.
No, not Heaton. Heaton's Everyone Loves Raymond.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Patricia, whoever it was, did have to deal with just being exhausted by men all the time, which is a fate shared by Daphne and Roz. So there's one thing they have in common.
I mean, that's a fate shared by every sitcom wife almost ever, is they are all exhausted by men. That is their number one trait.
That's true. Maybe just women in general.
I mean,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
I also apologize to Patricia from Home Improvement for confusing her with the woman who wanted Terri Schiavo to be kept alive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Patricia Richardson never became like an arch Catholic conservative. So Frasier is a show about the differences between the character Frasier and his dad, Martin, played by the now late John Mahoney. John Mahoney, R.I.P. And John Mahoney is a very blue collar, like lowbrow tastes, like not a fancy guy at all. And because of the conflict between these two characters that have to share a house together, they might remind a lot of gay men about having difficulty relating to maybe their own father or like other men in their family. Would you say?
Yeah, now I'm just like in a loop replaying my own relationship with my father.
Well, don't do that.
You've trapped me.
No. Think about Frasier. Think about funny little Niles, who they invented on the show to make, like, obviously that was a good character to add to the show, and David Hyde Pierce is great in the role, but he's like an even faggier version of Frasier.
Well, I mean, he is the Cordelia Chase to Frasier's Buffy. I mean,
yes, that is a very apt comparison.
Well, Cordelia was added to Buffy specifically to make Buffy Summers look like less of a bitch.
Hmm.
And so I feel like they get away with Frasier's mannerisms and taste and general attitude because they added Niles to the show to make him seem grounded by comparison, which makes it even more egregious that he's just not a gay character.
Right, right. He spends like 3/4 of the show like making puppy eyes at Daphne. And I guess no one in America thought like, hey, it's weird that the gay guy likes the British woman. That's a weird thing. Everyone just kind of bought it.
Well, it's weird to me because I think it was a template for a lot of my, I would say, crushes towards women. I was very invested in the Niles-Daphne relationship, and I didn't actually realize until much later that I was like, oh, no, he's basically like kind of stalking her and obsessed with her.
Yeah.
And it's very performative. He has a very performative crush on Daphne, which is pretty much where all of my crushes in high school were.
Oh, that's super interesting. Okay. Like, Daphne never seems to realize it, but it's something that's very apparent to like Martin and Frasier, and eventually Roz figures it out too, and everyone's just watching this thing happen and Daphne's oblivious to it.
Yeah. I mean, the girls I had a crush on maybe weren't oblivious.
What did you do?
I mean, I may have written my college essay about stalking this one girl in high school, which I feel bad about now.
I thought you said you wrote your college essay about Sailor Moon.
I wrote my college essay to Stanford about Sailor Moon, and that was the one school I did not get into. The stalking essay got me into a lot of schools, which is maybe says a lot about our country.
I'm sorry Niles Crane was your role model, because that shouldn't have been, but it was made all the stranger when David Hyde Pierce eventually came out long after the show ended. And it so happens that most of the men on the show are played by gay actors playing straight men. And this includes Bulldog Briscoe, played by Dan Butler, who was the only one who was openly gay. Like, he talked about being gay, like in interviews, like on Regis and Kathie Lee back in the day.
Even my dad knew that Bulldog was gay and brought it up a lot as like a funny thing. Like, I love my father. He has no problem with gay men. I don't know why it's coming off to have a complicated relationship with my father.
So Glenn and I are roommates, so we know a lot about each other's like family lives. Yeah, you have a complicated relationship with your family, but not about the gay thing.
No, not about the gay thing.
Just the other stuff.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, okay. And then there's Gil Chesterton, who is the food critic that works at the radio station where Frasier also works. And it's as if they decided that, well, now if Niles is straight, we need someone who's even gayer. And they invent this character who's like basically flamingly gay, but closeted. And there's even times where characters talk about how he's very obviously gay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel bad for his fictional wife that we don't see.
The mechanic?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I wonder if that is why Maris, Niles' wife, is never pictured. I know it's a gag carried over from Cheers, where we never saw Vera.
Right.
But I wonder if you saw Maris, if you would just feel bad for her.
Because she's supposed to be like hideous or
something? No, you'd feel bad because she has this, well, in the context of the show, you'd feel bad because her husband is constantly like mentally cheating on her.
Right, right. Which comes up in this episode a lot, which I have yes. in my notes. Of it's an awkward thing to like look at as an adult being like, oh, he wants to commit adultery with like the hired help.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, where'd it go, Niles?
Well, I mean, you mentioned that this is the third episode of season two. And I was saying that I think that's important because I wonder if there was a lot of blowback from the first season, a lot of notes being like, well, these two are kind of gay, Frasier and Niles. And, you know, there's a thing in screenwriting where you just sort of want to wave away the obvious pushback, the obvious questions you get to a conceit, or if someone in a movie has a stupid plan and everyone involved knows it's a stupid plan. If you mention that it's a stupid plan, if a character in the script mentions it's a stupid plan and someone explains away, no, it's fine, then the audience is sort of on board. Mm-hmm. And I think that the placement of this episode early in season two was very intentional to bring up the gay issue and then wave it away.
Ah, interesting. Okay. So is that what they call hanging a lantern on it?
Yeah.
Okay. I learned that from somewhere.
Not me. I've never said it before, but it sounds right.
Right. Okay. So this episode, the only other thing that I think you have to know going into this is that it's season two Frasier hair, which means that he still kind of looks like Mr. Largo from The Simpsons. Like he has a lot of like growth in back, which they eventually would tame down, and it really helps Frasier a lot because he looks less weird.
Yeah. I describe it as liberal professor hair.
Yes. So the episode opens with the smoke alarm going off in the middle of the night, and I'm going to hesitate to make like a like fire alarm flame. Like that's dumb.
No, yeah, I was also going to make like a cigarette faggot joke, but there's nothing there.
No, it's not. But Daphne is secretly smoking in her room, which is like a major fucking no-no. Like you wouldn't. Frasier has a no smoking rule, and she's trying to like you would be able to tell she was smoking anyway. She's smoking. She sets off the fire alarm. I like her line reading of,
with all the noise the bloody thing makes, it will be less upsetting to just wake up on fire.
Mm-hmm. Like that's a good line. And she's sad because she's single and doesn't have any prospects. And she talks to Frasier about this and quickly makes him sad as well.
Yes, but I for one, enjoyed the mention of Diane and then Lilith when Frasier bemoaned his love life.
I know how bleak these times can be, but believe me, they come to an end sooner or later. You know, I remember a time back in Boston. I was going through exactly what you're going through now. And just a week later, I met a lovely barmaid, sophisticated, if a bit loquacious. We fell madly in love. We got engaged. Of course, she left me standing at the altar, but the point is, I didn't give up. I took my poor, battered heart and offered it to Lilith. Put it in her little Cuisinart and hit the puree button.
Does Diane show up this season?
No, she doesn't. I don't believe she showed up second season.
Okay, but it's not that far off before we finally get to see Shelley Long again.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I love to do that episode, but the gayest thing about that is Shelley Long, so it doesn't really work. Do you want to move on to the next part? Is there anything more?
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't anything really gay about this opening, but the cut to the next scene had the title card Manhunt, which delighted me, and I thought about all the sort of gay dating websites and dating apps that could be pulled just from Frasier title cards.
Oh, true. Oh my gosh. So it's a manhunt because Frasier is in the cafe he's always in, and Roz is like, I knew I'd find you here. And he has forgotten that he was supposed to wake up early and meet the new station manager, who we have not met yet. And then it quickly slips into a conversation about how Daphne is like man hungry, so that's why Roz is efficient.
Yeah. And Frasier, in timely fashion, slut shames Roz, which is going to be a constant theme on Frasier, which is unfortunate, but still funny, I guess.
It's Niles really gives it. Niles is really mean about it. Frasier's more casual about it, but like their attitude is that anyone that Roz has already had sex with is not good enough for Daphne, and that's a sucky attitude. And it is kind of weird to think about that Frasier and Roz are single for most of the show, and they're office mates, and they're paired with each other, and at least initially, most of Roz's scenes are with Frasier, and it takes them a while to ever really address like the lack of any sexual chemistry between these two characters.
Which I thought was nice. I didn't need them to be love interest.
To not be Sam and Diane about it.
Yeah. I mean, I do think there's something kind of like gay relatable about Roz's slut shaming, because gay men have it's sort of a cliche that we're promiscuous and we sleep around. Although I will say that many of the men in her black book had very gay names like Brick and, I don't know, Cocktease.
Sven Bachman, he's an aerobics instructor.
I don't think so.
Oh, this one's perfect. Gunther Dietrich. Oh, he's loads of fun and he's a runway model.
A German narcissist. There's an appealing combination.
Okay, I'll keep looking.
Looking for what?
I'm helping Frasier find a man for Daphne.
What?
Here we go. He's a tennis instructor and his name is Brick.
Dear God, Frasier, Sven, Gunther, Brick. Why not just lather Daphne up with baby oil and hurl her over the wall of a prison yard?
There aren't actual people named Brick, right?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'll actually defend Niles' slut-shaming in that is their rapport as characters. They sort of rib each other. And I think it's more hurtful coming from Frasier, who danced around it or tried to. And the whole, like, virgin horror dichotomy is just sort of... It's overplayed, but mm-hmm. I sort of... We'll get to Roz's motivations later in the episode, but I do feel bad for her.
I feel bad for the slut shaming. Also, she's very frequently the one who's left out of most of the action because this episode concludes with everyone but Roz having a big scene together, and she's just not even fucking there.
I honestly was surprised because I had forgotten some of the episode, and my mind told me, like, oh, yeah, Roz shows up towards the end to sort of try and make things right. But no, she doesn't.
Nope, just don't see her again. So eventually it cuts to the station where Frasier's at work, and we finally meet the new station manager, who is Tom, who is played by Eric Lutz, who most people probably know as the non-gay guy from Caroline in the City. He played Caroline's ex on Caroline in the City?
Yes. Yeah. Ex and sometimes current.
Yeah.
When you say the non-gay guy in Caroline in the City, you're referring to her artist partner? Who's straight on the show.
And who she eventually falls in love with,
yes,
at the end of the show, which is such a weird fucking thing. But if we're talking about shows where you have gay-coded characters who just aren't gay despite everything that comes out of their mouth, Caroline in the City is a really fucking weird example. Richard. His name is Richard.
Yes.
And he's played by Malcolm Getz, who is a gay man in real life. And it's... Yeah, I just find it very puzzling that 90s TV viewers are just like, okay, this person's straight. We'll accept that. Like,
yeah, I'm pretty much any artsy person on 90s TV, I don't know, seems coded as gay.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. For this episode, the gay guy is played by Eric Lutz, who's like kind of jockey on Caroline in the City and maybe a little bit less so here. And by 90s standards, he's very good looking.
I'd say by most standards. I mean, the suit is ill-fitting.
Right.
But, I mean, the thing that was striking to me about Tom's introduction is that he's pretty much introduced... as an a mirror image of Frasier. He is idealized Frasier.
Oh, that's interesting.
Did you like the framing of the shot when they shake hands? Is they're given equal like screen presence. Mm-hmm. They're wearing similar clothing, similar coloring. I think Tom's hair is like the better version of Frasier's hair. If Kelsey Grammer had more hair.
Tom has amazing hair, I should point out. He has like, it's almost like Teen Beat Dreamboat, like 90s hair.
Oh, it's wavy. You'd run your fingers through it.
Yeah, it looks great.
I mean, he even shares Frasier's backstory in that he traveled many, many miles to get away from a bad relationship. He'd just broken up with someone.
Oh, you're totally right.
Say, that's a beautiful tie.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I got this in London at one of those costume shops. It was just off of Sloane Square.
You know, I just came from London. I spent the last 5 years there working for the BBC.
Really? Yes, I love London. The museums, the theater.
Oh, yeah, I'm a big theater buff, three shows a week. I hated leaving.
Well, I can imagine. Why did you?
Well, I
Just kind of went through a messy breakup. I thought I'd sleep better with a continent between us.
Yes, I know the feeling.
I mean, it's just, I think it's important how similar he is to Frasier because it addresses the, it's drawing a direct comparison. It wants to say, here is what the gay version of Frasier is. Our Frasier's not gay. Our Frasier is Frasier.
Mm-hmm.
This is what gay Frasier looks like.
Better, I guess. But like also just a different person. It's also notable that when Tom enters the scene, Frasier's talking about his search for a man for Daphne. And he says out loud, I'm looking for a man who's like cultured, compassionate, intelligent, all these things. But Tom only hears that part and naturally assumes that this cultured man who's looking for a man of his own is gay.
Yeah. And then hilarity will ensue from this mix up.
Of course. Roz, of course, also thinks he's really attractive and seems like she has her like eyes set on her. But
I actually never, I don't think Roz had any interest in Tom. She may have noted that he's attractive just because Frasier brings it up. But I actually think that Roz is pretty professional in this one instance.
Okay.
And I actually have to question like this company's HR policy that Tom would come in and on his first day of work be like, yeah, I'm going to ask out a coworker. That's fine.
I take it then you are unattached?
Yes, but I haven't given up hope.
Well, you may have come to the right place.
Really?
Yes. You say you are very fond of the English.
Oh, yes, very much. You know, I think I've always had a weakness for people who are just a little eccentric.
Really?
15 seconds.
Oh, well, listen, it was nice meeting you.
Likewise, Tom. Oh, say, Tom, this may sound like short notice, but if you're not busy Saturday, why don't you come by my place for dinner? Nothing fancy.
Well, thanks. I'd like that.
Great.
Technically, Frasier has already asked him out at this point, right?
Does that make it better?
No, I mean, he should probably know to say no, but I guess there's the pretense of... maybe he thought it was just a friendly, like, coworker inviting me over for dinner. But Frasier quickly invites Tom to dinner at Frasier's apartment as a fix-up for Daphne. Tom does not think that at all.
No. Yeah. And it is when Frasier, again, sort of slut-shames Roz through the glass.
Yeah.
He writes, hands off, or something along the lines on a piece of paper that Roz begins this snowball by not correcting Tom.
As Frasier can't hear what's happening in the producer booth, of course, and it's Tom telling Roz, like, I guess every place is...
Well, you know, it's the same every job I take. Word spreads like wildfire.
Oh, what's that?
Oh, you know, you tell one or two people you're gay, and before you can blink, it's all over the station.
Well, they don't call it broadcasting for nothing.
They're not paying attention.
He seems like a nice guy.
Oh, he's okay.
Well, I hope he's more than okay. He just asked me out on a date.
Frasier just asked you out on a date?
Yeah, well, he asked me to his place for dinner. So I wanted to ask you, is there any particular wine he likes?
Well, listen, Tom, there's something you need to know about Frasier.
What?
He's nuts about Chardonnay.
And so Roz knows that he's gay, and she just lets this farce happen to poor Frasier because Frasier's a dick. Like he truly hasn't come at you, and if it's a mean thing to do, Tom.
Yeah, and that's the thing is like I'm sort of torn. Like I think this is a great play on Roz's part, but it also plays into the cliche of the gay character being used as a prop in the straight character sort of plot.
Totally.
Which at the time I would not have thought twice about, and I was entertained and delighted.
Yeah, I mean, do you remember when you first saw this episode, by the way? Was it on the original airing?
Yeah, of course. My father and I always watched must-see TV.
My family, too, and I probably would have watched this with my parents. And I don't think at this point I would have realized it would have any special meaning for me. But this might have been... I struggle to think of a time a show we actively watched would have dealt with like gay themes openly before this.
I mean, I remember thinking Del on Caroline in the City was hot. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this was around puberty for me. I mean, this was in the heat of it. So,
don't make me picture you hot and pubic. I would have been 12. Is that is that puberty?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I didn't know what was going on. I was a dumb child. The scene cuts back to Frasier's apartment where he has just informed Daphne that it's a setup, and again, I like Jane Leaves. I like how Jane Leaves delivers lines, but I wrote down the line they give her. I feel like they're still getting used to like writing real Britishisms for her to say. She's talking about being set up back in Manchester.
My girlfriends in Manchester used to set me up all the time, and it was always some gangly bounder with a boarding house reach, and he wasn't going for the Coleman's hot mustard, if you know what I mean.
We get it. She's British. We understand. She has an accent. You don't need to clobber us over the head with it. But
well, I just thought that they gave her the ugliest dress to wear at first.
The first dress.
The frock with umbrellas on it.
Is that what it has umbrellas
on it?
I think
it was umbrellas.
Well, it takes her for a while to get to dress sexy on the show normally, but it's interesting that Frasier points out that the dress isn't pretty enough and asks her to put on that little strapless number, which is not a thing a straight man has ever said in history.
I will say I think they exaggerated some of Frasier's mannerisms for this episode.
To make him seem a little bit gayer.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, they didn't have to push much.
Is that what you're wearing?
What's wrong with it?
Don't you have something with a little more oomph? I mean, what about that, that strapless number you have, little Fitzroy?
Do you have any idea how uncomfortable a strapless bra is?
Well, thanks to my fraternity days, as a matter of fact, I do.
Going into this date, I just want to say that if I showed up to a man's apartment and was ambushed by having dinner with his father and his father's,
Nurse.
Yeah, I think this is a terrible date, and I would come up with an excuse to leave pretty quickly.
Well, I mean, okay, that's a good point, but Frasier accidentally makes Tom think that he's actually going to get some action out of this, because one of the first things Tom says when he enters is like, oh, what a great view, and Frasier's response is, oh, you should see it from the bedroom. So regardless of what he thinks is going to happen, mm-hmm. he thinks he's going to get sex, which is all the more disappointing for him, I guess, that he's missing out on that sweet Kelsey Grammer ass, but...
I mean, the bedroom is nice.
It is nice, yeah. We don't know what the view looks like, but...
Did you just assume Kelsey Grammer would be a bottom?
I did in this relationship. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. What? Do you think...
I don't know. I think Kelsey... I think Frasier's a top. This is a terrible road to go down.
I just don't want to think about that. Also, the fact that his dad is going to be at the dinner as well is sort of explained by the fact that Frasier says, oh, I live with my father. And Tom's response is like, oh, doesn't that crimp your personal life?
That's a hell of a view.
It's even better from the bedroom.
Why don't we just start with a drink? Oh, four places. Who's joining us?
Oh, well, just my little household. My father and his physical therapist, charming Daphne.
You live with your dad? Mm. I can't even imagine that. Well, I mean, I think it's great that you get along so well, but doesn't having him here kind of put a crimp in your love life?
Oh, not at all, no. Well, except when I bring my dates home, he tries to steal them.
I mean, yeah, the mixed message dialogue is on point in this episode of Frasier. I mean, it's always on point in Frasier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's prime mix-em-up TV.
Mix-em-up TV. Yeah, I mean, the entire time, if someone just said one fucking thing, it would solve the whole thing. But unlike an episode of Three's Company where you're like, just say the thing, you fix all your problems. With this, you kind of are more prone to just roll with it, I guess.
I mean, because the things they're saying are much funnier.
Yeah, the writing's a lot better.
I mean... This is a small nitpick, but like I felt so bad watching Frasier open that bottle of wine that Tom brings, because like he's opening it like a peasant with like a old turn kind of wine opener. I mean, that's how I still open wine, but like a real wine gay nowadays has all the fancy wine openers,
like the rabbit that I have.
Yeah, you have a fancy wine opener that I'm always afraid of breaking.
It's you can't break it. It works really easy. Like it's much easier. Martin does nothing to solve the problem of seeming gay, because he recommends his Duke's, the bar that he likes to go to, and he tells Tom that there's a lot of young cops there. So he's made this poor man think that there's like a gay bar full of young cops. That's not a bar that exists anywhere in the real world, right?
Is that a type that exists? Like are people into young cops? Like I know, like
they'd be like worked out. I watched every episode of Southland, and if there was ever a show that would actually feature a bar full of gay cops, it would be that show. And that was not a thing they ever had on that show. I guess this is maybe an okay time to talk about John Mahoney's sexuality, in as much as we can say, because we don't know him. But as of the recording, he has just recently passed, and there hasn't been anything yet published about his personal life. But if you Google around, the perception is that he's a gay man, a gay actor who simply didn't ever talk about his personal life in interviews, which is his own business, and he's welcome to do that. But I think a lot of people who don't know that find it very surprising that, I guess because they only know him as Marty and they don't think of him as being like primarily a stage actor, which is what he did for most of his life.
He also played an openly gay man in Broken Hearts Club. Okay.
He did, but so did a lot of straight. Isn't Timothy Oliphant and Dean Cain in that movie too?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not gay, are they? I don't think so. Oh, okay. We're not in the know. Someone smarter than us can maybe be tell you what's going on with those guys. But yeah, it's interesting to see John Mahoney play. It's not the only time they like kind of tweak his sexuality over the course of the show.
No, there's definitely an episode where he pretends to be gay in order to get out of a date with a woman. Hilarity ensues and he ends up pretending that Niles is his boyfriend, and it's very uncomfortable.
It's very fucking weird. That's right. Maybe if we do a season 2 of this show, we can do that episode as well. There's a lot of Frasier episodes we could pick from.
I'm pretty sure you wanted the Gil episode first.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we'll talk about Gil first. But by the way, in case you're curious, we think this will be a little 10 episode effort. We'll see how it does. We have the 10 episodes picked out, but there is no shortage of LGBT like sitcom episodes that we would be very excited to talk about.
Yeah, and I specifically wanted to do this one because I knew I wouldn't be too offended, whereas some of the other offerings, we might not be so lucky.
Right. They're not all award winning episodes. I'm looking at my notes right now, and at one point it just says on a line on its own, poor Daphne.
Yeah, I mean, Daphne, she does a great job in this episode, having to sort of go back and forth between delighted and heartbroken.
Yeah.
And her discovery of Tom being gay is a nice 5-second bit of TV where she walks in on the jig is up moment and just turns around and in one motion removes her wireless bra.
She's walking in the background, Tom and Frasier are talking, and all Daphne hears is Tom say that I'm gay, and like without Frasier or Tom even seeing her, she like does a 180 and like walks back down the hallway to her bedroom and just like whips off her wireless bra and strapless bra.
Oh, that's right, strapless. Sorry, we're gay men.
We don't understand lady clothes, but
I wonder if you notice any differences in Tom's, performative sexuality over the course of the episode. Like, I felt that as the evening progressed, as he found out that more and more people in this family were gay, he got more comfortable with himself. Mm-hmm. And I felt like in one-on-one scenes, especially with Martin or with Niles, whom he assumed was gay, he loosened his mannerisms too. In like the group scenes, he was more like he was at work, a little bit more reserved and buttoned up.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
I just think it was an interesting note because maybe we've moved beyond that as a society. But, you know, in the 90s, like performative sexuality was sort of how you would blend in your day and nightlife.
Right. Huh, that's interesting. Also, you just made me realize that like they're as a result of like miscommunication, he's tricked into thinking that both Frasier and Martin are gay. That never happens with Niles. Like no one ever, he just sees Niles as he is and is like, oh, this person is also a homosexual.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we need to talk about how it's revealed initially, which the first person at the dinner party to figure out what's going on is Niles, who, by the way, is not invited to the dinner at all and just lingers because he's like creepily protective of Daphne and doesn't like the idea of Daphne being charmed by this like educated, like much handsomer man. So Niles is undercutting everything that Tom says at dinner, and then eventually Niles goes into the kitchen and Tom follows him and says, hey, I can't help but shake the feeling that I've offended you in some way.
Niles, can I speak with you a moment?
Yes.
I was wondering, did I do anything that offended you?
No.
Oh, must be all in my head. But I sensed that you had a problem with me dating Fraser.
Well, if you must know. I'm sorry, what was the question?
Do you have some problem with me dating your brother?
No.
Now, Niles, didn't ask Tom to dinner, so he'd end up talking to you all night in the kitchen. There are others who would like to have a crack at him.
And Niles completely changes and immediately approves of Tom and tells Fraser that he thinks that Tom is exactly the kind of man that he should be fixing up Daphne with, which is a nice moment.
And when he does reveal the secret to Fraser, I think Niles gets an amazing line where he says that Dad wanted to tell Fraser, but Niles won the coin toss.
And it's said so quickly that like it just like clips right by and he jumps into giving the news. But yeah, it is a perfectly written line.
It's a buried joke. Yeah. And I love unearthing it every time.
What do you think of the scene? So at this point, Niles and Martin are in the kitchen off screen, and it's just Fraser, Daphne, and Tom talking out where the dinner table is. And you do not see Martin learn. You just hear him explode with laughter from the other room, and they kind of like react to it and then just keep talking. I guess it makes me feel bad for Tom. I mean, it's not like a homophobic laugh, really.
They're laughing. They're not laughing at Tom, though. They're laughing at Fraser.
Right.
And also, they're on the balcony. It's a little bit more believable.
Oh, that's right.
Although there are plenty of people who study the acoustics of Fraser's apartment to wonder like how some of these secrets always get kept. I never read anything. I mean, it's not malicious in context. I don't think it's malicious outside of the show either, even looking back. Like, it's a ridiculous thing. At any point, like, someone could have said something. It could be cleared up very easily, but that's TV, so.
Right, and it's a very funny episode, so I'm not going to knock it for that. I guess I just feel bad for... It's weird that, like, the amount of joy they're taking in Fraser getting, like, crushed in front of, like, his efforts being, like, literally rendered to nothing and looking like a fool. Their joy for that is greater than any suffering that Daphne or Tom is going to experience as a result of this, but you know, whatever. They're kind of jerks.
I don't know that Tom's going to necessarily suffer from this. Like, I've had women, like, hit on me in bars and think I was straight for some reason.
It's because you're tall.
That might be it.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm not offended by it. So I guess, I mean, from Tom's perspective, they assumed he was straight, which probably happens. And it was just a mix-up, and once it's cleared up, I mean,
right.
Like, it's only, I guess, really the only person who has any sort of culpability in this is Roz.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I forgive her.
Right. I mean, yeah, because Fraser's a jerk. But it is interesting that when Martin's having a one-on-one with Tom, he brings up football, and Tom says, "Oh my gosh, I miss football so much." Like, because he was recently in England, and you can't watch football there. So that is. I guess this episode got an award from GLAAD for defying stereotypes about gay men. And even though it does say that Tom likes opera, he also likes football, and maybe that's enough. He doesn't really seem like either to me, but maybe in 1994, that was a big deal.
But you also, like, I don't want to give it too much credit for that, because that's also, like, the main conceit of the episode is a man who appeals to a straight woman and, quote-unquote, a gay man in Fraser. And so he has to dance the line for the joke to work.
Right.
So he couldn't be a stereotypical gay man in the 90s necessarily, because that would sort of ruin the joke. Like, we still have to believe that Daphne would be into him.
Right. I mean, she could just have like horny goggles on because he's, you know, 90s hot. So yeah. The one instance of like performative sexuality that I can recall is immediately after Niles has delivered this news to Fraser out in the hallway, out of earshot of anyone else, that Tom is gay and he's there for Fraser and not for Daphne. Fraser goes back in, and Tom is just like leering at him. Leering's not the right verb, but like he's giving him like fuck me eyes.
Yeah.
And like
he's taking the glasses off. He's like all cozy on the couch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You'd do him.
Yeah, with a look like that. That just like cuts right through you. Yeah, I totally get it.
I mean, in that scene also, like Frasier is so incredibly uncomfortable that he's doing performative something.
So.
God, I hate this song.
You know, I've broken my rule for you. I usually don't date guys I work with.
Yes, well, I've sort of relaxed my rule for you, too.
You're cute when you're nervous.
Well, I must be downright adorable now.
Yeah, I think that's actually kind of an interesting moment because you're seeing, even though it's only one-sided, like man-on-man seduction, like Tom's going through the motions, and that, again, like I said, this is before that gay bar episode of Roseanne where she gets kissed on the mouth. That's not something people might have ever seen before if you're just the kind of person who watches whatever's on primetime TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Good for it winning an award.
I mean, I do think I'm of thoughts on how this whole thing between Tom and Frasier resolves. When is it? They're in the kitchen and everything's out, and you know, Frasier says to Tom, "You know, it never occurred to me."
Don't take this wrong, but it never even occurred to me that you might be gay.
Well, it never even occurred to me that you might be straight.
Thank you.
And it works because, again, we think Frasier is gay or gay acting.
Right.
But it's also such a beautiful undercut of straight privilege.
Right.
Whereas like they just want every gay person to announce that they are gay.
Mm-hmm.
Because then if like you quote unquote ambush them by coming out later, they feel attacked. They
like you snuck it in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we never ask straight people to announce that they're straight.
True. And I actually didn't think about that. Although I have to say, I was like pissing around on Tumblr and there was just a text post, and the text post was literally like person one being like, oh, I had no idea you were gay. And the other person being like, I never occurred to me that you're straight. I'm sure the person who wrote that was like 14 and has not seen this episode of Frasier and just arrived at it on their own. But I kind of feel like Tom's response is no less valid a response to straight people will still say that to gay people.
Yeah.
As if, without considering what it means to say that, and be like, oh, that's weird. You don't act too gay. Like, I didn't think you were at all. That is still a worthwhile conclusion to come to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, have we talked about David Hyde Pierce being gay?
Did we talk about
that? We talked about John Mahoney being gay.
Yeah. We talked about how he came out after the fact, and it was actually for the website I used to work for. And I remember them pushing it like it was like a huge scoop. Like, they just happened to interview him and he mentioned the fact that he had a husband or something, and they published it like it was a huge scoop. And I think it was either Brian Moylan or might've been Richard Lawson making fun of their treatment of this scoop. It was like the most effeminate man in like 90s primetime TV turns out to actually be gay. That's not actually news. It was kind of a nasty way to receive the news, but has a point. Like, yeah. What the fuck was he waiting for?
It was around the time that Tim Curry came out, wasn't it? They were both in Spamalot.
Oh, was it?
I think, because I remember I was in Chicago when that was there, and the whole cast went to one of the gay bars there.
Oh, yeah, I guess that makes sense. I'm glad he did. I'm glad he felt like he was fine to do that. But it's like when What's-His-Face from Will and Grace finally came out after the show ended, and it's like, well, We like, you know, we assumed you were, and it's weird that, like, I don't know. It's actually a very weird thing to talk about. Yes, that's your thing to like disclose when you feel comfortable to do it, but it's weird when you do it at a point when it seems like you literally have nothing to lose career wise.
It just makes it all the more ridiculous that Niles was not a gay character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the actor really didn't have anything to lose. Like, 4 or 5 seasons into the show, he has his Emmys. Like, it would have been perfectly believable if Niles came out.
Yeah.
Like, sorry about that crush on Daphne. I was obviously not in my right mind, I was repressing a lot and married to an awful woman that made me feel bad about repressing my sexuality. So sorry I put that all on you, Daphne.
Right.
And now I'm going to sleep with men.
Right. I do like that plot line for Niles. And it's interesting thinking about that in conjunction with Chandler, who we barely knew anything about at this point, but not very long into the run of Friends, they started the running joke about how Chandler seemed gay. People thought he was gay. And unless I'm mistaken, they actually did think about the idea of like having him come out. And they're like, no, we're not going to do that. And then he marries Monica. And yeah, it's just kind of a weird thing.
Yeah, that's a weird thing to think about, like giving your gay seeming characters like the most forced relationships possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta heterosexualize them up.
Healthcare worker. That's what Daphne is. She is not his nurse.
Right. Healthcare worker.
Live in healthcare worker / psychic.
She also does the laundry, though. Like she also does and like cooks dinner for them sometimes.
Yeah.
Like
domestic duties.
I'm pretty sure her job description wouldn't have included like everything that they make her do, but
yeah,
they frequently also like overrun the boundaries of like good natured privacy with Daphne. There's a whole episode about it.
Yeah,
but the episode closes with Tom saying like, so your dad's not gay either. He's like, no, my dad is not gay.
No, dad's not gay.
But Niles, come on.
No, I'm afraid not. Huh.
So wait a minute, this Maris guy he kept mentioning is a woman?
Well, the jury's still out on that one.
Kind of, you're like, she's not mannish, but I think it's more of a joke about her being like subhuman. Yeah. Or like,
because like she's at this point in the series, she's apparently so thin she has no body fat, which would mean like
mm-hmm.
no breasts.
Right. Yeah, the one time we actually get a close to seeing her, it's Roz spies her through a keyhole, and she's like, I don't see her in the room at all. All I see is that hat rack. Frazier's response is like, look closer, and then she like gasps in horror when she realizes that's Maris. But yeah, uncastable. Like, yeah. You can't cast that. And then the episode, the closing credits are Frasier and Daphne sitting on the couch, smoking cigarettes and drinking, like, booze of some sort, because they are no less sad and alone than they were when they started.
Yeah.
So the lesson is don't try at all, because you're just going to fail, and you're going to feel worse about it.
I mean, yeah, I guess that's a lesson for all gay men.
Don't try.
Don't try, don't date.
But, I mean, we're trying a podcast.
We're nailing.
Oh, we're nailing the podcast?
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. We landed this one really good. Really well. I just pronounced it wrong.
All downhill from here.
Yeah. Tom does come back.
Yes.
For just the one episode though, right?
Yeah. We're in just the one scene. No, is it more than one scene? Anyway, it's the BB. It's a BB Glazer episode, so you should watch it. Not just for Tom, but for BB.
BB Glazer, by the way, who stars in the relatively new film, The Phantom Thread. I saw it in the theater and I cannot tell you how excited I was to see BB Glazer on screen. Like, she's a very talented actor. Harriet Sansom Harris. She's great. Not in this episode.
Tag her.
Does she have Twitter?
I don't know.
Okay. By the way, Eric Lutz has acted a lot. If you thought that his career ended with Caroline in the City, you were wrong. He's continued to do stuff. And I looked into his online presence a little bit, mostly to ascertain, like, is he gay? I do not believe he's gay.
He's just very handsome.
He's like, years gone by, he's still pretty handsome. And he's married to Jane Sabet, who's not only Ross's lesbian ex-wife from Friends, but also Hetty from Herman's Head, who I always think of her as Hetty because I'm one of the few people that, like, really cares about Herman's Head. Mm-hmm. Glenn is also one of these people.
Yes. I'm smiling so big right now, you cannot tell because it is a podcast.
Yeah. She also looks great. She doesn't appear to have aged a day since Herman's Head. And I like that these two, they were important people to me from 90s pop culture, ended up together at some point. I couldn't tell when. I think they have kids.
Do not stalk the kids, internet.
No.
Leave the kids alone.
Yeah, that's weird. Overall, what are your thoughts on how successful this episode was?
Oh, I think it's very successful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't have a scale yet, but we should come up with a scale.
We'll probably compare it to this. Because I think the things we're talking about are how well do they handle it? Like, how sensitive are they with, like, material that might have been new for viewers? And, like, how horribly dated does this seem? And this episode is 24 years old. and it holds up really, really well. It's still funny. And a lot of the situations presented aren't completely alien to being a gay man trying to navigate a sea of straight people.
I think for me, when I'm watching these, it is how important to the actual story and the show is this episode and to the plot. And I actually think this is not shoehorned in. Like, a lot of these episodes are just going to be like plopped down in there as a random thing. But I actually think that this whole gay question, for lack of a better term, was pretty central to the Frasier concept. And they needed to answer it one way or another. And this was a great way to answer it.
I agree. I didn't think about that till you brought it up, but I think you're completely right.
Thank you. Say that always.
No. Yeah. So that has been The Matchmaker, the first episode we're going to do. And we hope you guys enjoy the next 9. There will be no more Frasier episodes, but at some point it would be great to do like the, 3 or 4 other good gayish episodes. Thank you very much for listening. Glenn, if people want to find you online, where should they look for you?
Oh, I'm on Twitter at I Write Wrongs. That is right with a W. Although Twitter is mainly for politics and comic book fandom, I guess. And you can
keep
find me
on
Instagram. You can find me at Bros Courts. That is B-R-O-S Courts. And yes, it's a Steven Universe reference.
If you don't know what Steven Universe is, tweet at Glenn and he'll explain it to you.
Or just like look it up online.
You'll do a better job.
Okay.
Yeah. Lesbian aliens is what it's about. I am Drew G. Mackey on Twitter. And on Instagram, I am Kidicarus222. Yes, by the way, that is an Instagram handle I came up with a very long time ago and just have maintained all this time. You should also check out my other podcast, which is We Are Not Young Anymore. It is very similarly nostalgia-focused. It is me and my co-host, Chris Egertson, talking about movies we liked in the 80s and 90s and seeing how well they hold up today. There is even an episode with Glenn. Glenn was our guest on Return to Oz, and he might be making an appearance on the new season.
Maybe.
Maybe.
And if you're headed to South by Southwest this year, I have a film premiering there. You can choose your family. Get tickets or get a pass. I don't know. How rich are you?
Tell them who it stars.
It stars Jim Gaffigan.
And Anna Gunn and Samantha Mathis. Mm-hmm. These are important people.
Yes.
Samantha Mathis, another person that's very important to me.
Super Mario Brothers movie.
Yeah. So yeah, Google Glenn's movie and then go pay money to watch it, please.
Well, I don't think they have to pay money at South by Southwest.
Oh, what the fuck? What are you doing it for?
To sell the movie so that they can then go pay.
Right. Okay. All right, so my movie-making roommate has more cool things to talk about than I do. I just have a podcast.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Don't worry, it's over after this.
That's it. Thank you much for listening. We are going to post the next episode next week. Listen to it.
Bye.
Bye.
It's a special full hour of Wings.
Hello.
And it's all new. When Alex is gone, Bryant's looking for love anywhere he can find it.
Get off of me, you psycho.
And it's the outrageous all-new Frasier you'll be talking about the morning after.
You're cute when you're nervous.
Well, I must be downright adorable now.
Followed by an all-new Larry Kidd, great comedy, NBC Tuesday.